house. God forgives them and moves on. They start to build the Mishkan. They find out what the Shemitah does for us.
This week's Parsha is Tetzaveh. And still, Moshe is up on Har Sinai receiving the Torah from God like this. And if you want to hear last year's telling of Parshat Tetzaveh, you can click on the link in the description below. And just like last week's Parsha was a description from God to Moshe about how the Mishkan and the Kelim, the vessels inside the Mishkan, would be built and constructed, the main theme of the mitzvot that are listed in this week's Parsha is about those who would run the Mishkan and lead the people in ritualistic practices. Those people, of course, are the Kohanim. And so first of all, I want to say that I dedicate this week's Parsha telling to all of my Kohanim friends out there, especially a family of Kohanim who are regular listeners who live on Gibbs Street. But Parshat Tetzaveh is not yet about what the Kohanim are supposed to do inside the Mishkan. That will come later. Instead, we are still in construction mode. We are still in the process of learning about what materials needed to be collected and how these precious, holy ritual items would be designed and built, either by Bezalel or by someone on Bezalel's team. Now, one of the ritual garments that the Kohen Gadol would wear, Aaron being the first Kohen Gadol, but in every generation there were Kohanim, there were priests who all descended directly from Aaron, but every generation there would be one lead Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, who would have even more special ritualistic responsibilities and special ritualistic clothing. And one of the pieces of special ritualistic clothing that the Kohen Gadol would wear was the Choshen Mishpat, this breastplate of precious stones that had magical powers. And if you want to hear about those magical powers, you really should go back and listen to last year's telling, which has a number of stories about this Choshen Mishpat. But in my studies in preparation for this year's telling of Parshat Tetzaveh, I learned about something that I had never seen before. I learned about how the Choshen Mishpat was made. Now, in short, the Choshen Mishpat was, as I had said, a breastplate made of precious stones, 12 distinct precious stones to represent the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes, and on each stone was engraved the name of the tribe. So the first row had a stone with the name Reuven on it, and then Shimon, and then Levi, and then the next row had Yehuda, and so on and so forth. So the precious stones with the names of the tribes, the sons of Yaakov, on the stones. Now, one of the reasons why it was so significant that it had the names of the Shvatim on the stones is because one of the ways that the Choshen Mishpat was so amazing was that the Kohen Gadol would be able to ask God a question, and if God wanted to share the answer, God would light up the letters from the names of the tribes. So if God needed an Aleph, God could light up the Aleph in Asher. And then if God needed a Resh, God could light up the Resh in Reuven. And if God needed a Yud, God could light up the Yud in Yosef. So those letters were very, very important. But what I had never thought about is how did they get those letters onto these precious gemstones? Now, the easiest explanation is that they had a little chisel, a little stick that they could hammer gently into the stones and then would be able to carve or engrave the letters into the stones in that way. But these stones were so precious, they were so fragile, and they needed to be taken care of in such a way that you would not be actually able to use a chisel, because otherwise it would break the stones. And so the Midrash tells us about something called a shamir, which was a little worm bug thing that was the size of a corn kernel. Okay, that's how small it was. A worm the size of a corn kernel. And this shamir was told by God which words would go on which stone. And so God sent the shamir to engrave the letters very gently onto the stones. So I imagine this little teeny, teeny corn kernel-sized worm walking over the stone, and all of a sudden the letters appear, as if by magic. And according to the Midrash, this shamir, this magical corn kernel-sized worm, existed also during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when he was building the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. And Shlomo HaMelech also wanted to have precious stones that had engravings on them, and he was also worried about splintering the stones. But not only that, Shlomo HaMelech believed that a chisel was an instrument, a tool of war, because you could use that chisel to hurt somebody. And Shlomo HaMelech believed that no instruments of war should be used in the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, that the temple should only be a house of love and holiness. And so swords couldn't be used for cutting, and chisels couldn't be used for engraving. Now, if you're wondering, okay, a corn kernel-sized worm that does the engraving, of all the stories that I've heard from the Midrash, that is one of the craziest. Well, first of all, yes, that's true. But there are some people who believe that a shamir is not actually a corn kernel-sized worm, but rather a powder that was able to eat away gently at the stones so that it could engrave without the use of a chisel in that way. But I think the worm idea is more interesting. Now, also in this Choshen Mishpat, this breastplate that would light up and give answers to the Kohen Gadol, were the Urim and Tumim, which were these scrolls that were written by Moshe with God's name on them. Not any of the 70 names of God that we know, but the name of God that no one knows and is lost to history. And when the Urim and Tumim were placed inside this Choshen Mishpat, they would cause the gems to light up to give these answers. But there was one final ingredient that really got the Choshen Mishpat working. It wasn't just the stones, it wasn't just the engravings, it wasn't just the Urim and the Tumim. It was the heart of the Kohen Gadol. You see, not just anybody could wear the Choshen Mishpat and it would work. It had to be on the heart of the Kohen Gadol, especially in our Parsha, the first Kohen Gadol, Aaron. Now, what was so special about Aaron? Well, according to the Midrash, right after Moshe meets God at the burning bush, and Moshe agrees to go to Egypt to confront the Pharaoh, God then appears to Aaron and tells him to go meet up with Moshe because he is going to help his brother on this special mission. And according to the Midrash, Aaron says, "All right, you got it. I'll go meet him right away." And God says, "Aaron, I'm so glad that you're up for it. I just want to be clear, though, that Moshe, your younger brother, is going to be the one who's leading the people. You're going to be there to help him." And Aaron says, "Yeah, that's fine with me. That's great. No problem." And God is so impressed with Aaron's pureness of heart that he has no jealousy, has no ego about his younger brother being the one to lead the people, that God says, "This is the man who I want leading the people in rituals, in helping the people come closer to me, God. Because the stones need to be pure, the clothing needs to be pure, but perhaps most importantly, the human being needs to be pure of heart. And this man, Aaron, is that person." And by the way, this week's Parsha Tetzaveh is the only Parsha in the Torah after Moshe's been born that never mentions Moshe's name. Again, as a way to say to Aaron, "Hey, this is your special day. This is your special week. The Kohanim, this is your time to really celebrate your very important role in the story of the Jewish people." So yes, Aaron is really a well-hearted, well-meaning person. But down at the bottom of the mountain, while Moshe is receiving all of these wonderful laws about how Aaron is going to lead the people in ritual, the actual people, Bnei Israel, are starting to get very frustrated and gathering up against Aaron and saying, "Aaron, something's wrong. Moshe has been gone for too long, and we think he's dead, and you need to do something about it, Aaron, or else we are going to do something about it, and it's not going to be pretty." And my friends, the time has finally come where that really terrible, unpretty thing is going to happen. But it's going to happen in next week's podcast, Parsha. Shabbat Shalom. Hope everyone's enjoying their break. Let's go.